Hello guys, welcome to another Office 365 webcast. This time we have with us Luis Carmo from Identity Team. So Luis, the stage is yours. Feel free.
Hi guys, can you hear me? Yeah. Thumbs up, please. Yeah, thank you. So first thing, let me just thanks Bruno here to the invitation. I know some faces, so some of you already know about this content, but I will try to take it like for 1 hour, and then the last 15 minutes, 20 minutes, we can have a more open discussion. So feel free, not only at the end, but if you want to write something, Bruno is here helping. If something good, I will stop and I will engage, or you may unmute yourself and then make a question. Okay, let's try to make this as open as possible because that's the way I like it, and I feel that that's the best thing we can do here. So first things, let me introduce myself. So my name is Luis Carmo. I'm a 37 years old guy from Portugal. I'm at Microsoft like for 2 years and a half as an support escalation engineer on the EMEA Cloud Identity team. Basically, what I do is support technologies as ADFS, sync engines like DSync, ADSync, or AD Connect, Azure AD, anything related to software as a service and in Azure, a lot of things. So if I can like compare what we support now comparing with the last year, we have like 20 products more. Okay, so everything that is related to identity, everything that is related to authentication. So feel free to ping me because it's something that we as a team should handle. Okay. And of course, every product, every technology will need, as support because you'll need to authenticate your users or whatever. Okay. So that's what we do. So what I have prepared for today. So, I will just start to talk about identities. So we have three type of identities. We'll see it at the end. And then I will enforce the federated identities part. And the reason is that when I say federated identities, 80 or 90% of our customers are using ADFS. So I know that especially for teams that are outside of identity, that can be a monster. Okay, it's not easy. I understand it. And I'm pinged every day because sometimes we can have issues related to Outlook or SharePoint or whatever, and they all need authentication. Sometimes we just need to understand how the authentication flow works and what is ADFS, what it's supposed to do, just to narrow down the issues. And eventually, this is my goal for today. So discuss about ADFS, discuss about those things that can basically bring some issues, and that's why I just remembered to take this to this webcast because it's really interesting. And at the end, I will have some demos. Okay, I will show you my Azure virtual machines where I have a lab, and then we'll play around and then do some tests. And we will see ADFS and we will see some authentication tokens. So I hope that you will enjoy this webcast. So let's continue. Identities, okay? So that's the first. Give me just a second. Let me present it. Okay. Good. So this is the session agenda, like I was saying, identities. So let's start. So we have three type of identities in Office 365 or Azure AD. It's exactly the same thing. So meaning that the first one, that's the most common one, where we have users or user accounts directly created in the portal or through PowerShell. And basically we have a user that is only an online user with a password, and when a user wants to have access to Office 365 portals, just need to go to the portal and provide his username and password. So the authentication process is between the user itself and our authentication platform. This suits the small companies, for example, that don't have an Active Directory, or eventually a specific global administrator that should avoid being a federated identity. We'll see more details in the few minutes. And basically, we'll just have an identity that is managed by our services only. Okay, so this can be used for several companies, small companies especially. Second one, that's the most common one, where you have companies where they have, for example, Active Directory on premises, and then they decide to have Office 365 or Azure, and then what they will do is just synchronize their objects on premises, and then they will synchronize it to the Office 365 site, meaning that, for example, as you can see on this slide, in the middle we have a sync tool, meaning that it will take the on-premises objects, for example, Active Directory, like users, groups, contacts, passwords, for example, and they will be synchronized to the online site. And after this, you will see a user, and that the sign-on will be made. Basically, it will be the same identity they have on-premises, okay? So basically, it's not the same identity, because we have, or we need to provision users or objects, meaning that if I have a user on Active Directory on-premises, I will need to shadow this object to the online site with exactly the same attributes I have on-premises, including my password, for example. And then when I authenticate to this, I will use the same identity I use on-premises. So the same user I authenticate to my computer every day, the identity that I have on-premises should be the same identity I have online. Okay? So this is suited for the majority of teams because 90%, I believe, will have Active Directory, and then with a sync tool like DirSync, ADSync, or EDConnect, they can start synchronizing their objects to the online, and then they will have a user match between on-premises and the online, and the authentication request or the sign-on request should be made to the Office 365. What happens, for example, let's say that you're on your corporate, you need to change the password, you change the password on premises. After more or less 2 minutes, the sync tool will synchronize the hash of the password to the online services, and then after 2 minutes, the user will go to the portal and will authenticate directly to Office 365, and that's it. Okay, so simple things like this one, like we're saying here, we can have also write back specific attributes that are written on Office 365 that are written back to the on-premises directory. For example, we can have passwords reset that is being made on the portal, that is the password that is being set will be written back to the on-premises directory. Okay, we have more. For example, if we have Exchange Online or hybrid environments, there's some specific attributes that will not come home only from the on-premises to the online, but from the online to the on-premises, specific attributes. So this is the second identity. So we can't forget that even for the first, the cloud managed identity or directory synchronized identity, there should be a match from on-premises, a match from the object to the online, like a shadow. Okay. So meaning that if you have Active Directory, you have a user called John Doe at contoso.com, we should have the same match online, because when we do the authentication requests, we will do based on our username and password that we set, that should match what was previously synchronized to the Office 365 for this specific tenant. Okay? a little bit more about the landscape of the synchronization. So when you see, for example, let's say on-premises and private cloud Active Directory, so this is Directory Service or Active Directory, we always have a sync tool like AD Sync or AD Connect or Dir Sync that basically will be able to synchronize our objects to the Windows Azure Active Directory. So Azure AD or Office 365, when we say Office 365 or the cloud, basically it's just a forest that exists on our site that will have a match or a shadow from users that came from Active Directory. Okay. And this, of course, as soon as the users are being provisioned on Windows Azure AD, we can then play with them. We can set, for example, application on Azure or other third-party application that will consume those objects that are already synchronized to the online site. For example, applications like Salesforce, Box, Dropbox, Google, for example. Okay. So that's the thing. So Windows Azure AD, users being populated, they can be populated using a sync engine. That's what we're describing here. They can be created using PowerShell manually. So we can do both. Okay. Another thing that is really important about those shadows that I was discussing a few minutes ago. So we have identities online, and identities online are everything that is related to identity. We can't have any type of duplicates. Okay. Meaning that, for example, in Active Directory, we can have a user where the mail address is johndoe@contoso.com. However, when we try to synchronize this object or this attribute, we can synchronize it only once for one specific object. So if on the Active Directory, I can have 1,000 users with same attributes without any type of issue, as soon as I use a synchronization tool, the first one will be synced, the second one and all the others that came after will just stop and say, okay, so on the cloud side, I found that someone is using this attribute. So I will give you an error because you can't do this. Okay. So everything is unique. Related to objects, we call it a match. So when we have identities, we have on-premises identity, we have the match to the Azure AD. How do you do this match? So we have two specific objects, or attributes that came from Active Directory that are called source anchor and user principal name that will be necessary to do this match. That's why I use this print screen over here that can show you. Okay. This print screen over here that is being, that I took from AD Connect configuration set. And especially what we do is, okay, so by default, we use these two specific attributes that came from the Active Directory that are called source anchor and user principal name. And then that's if they match from on-premises to the online, so I will bond two objects together, meaning that johndoe@contoso.com from on-premises and johndoe@contoso.com from online, they are matching because they have the same user principal name and the same source anchor. So I'm seeing here source anchor attribute, and then I will see object grid. So what's this? Each object or each user that you create on an Active Directory will have a specific attribute that is called object grid. This object grid is an attribute that is unique for a specific domain, meaning that you can't have duplicates. And what we do basically is transform this attribute that each user have, transform it in base64, and then we call it a source anchor because we're using a tool, in this case AD Connect, that will take this object grid, transform it to base64, and then we will set this source anchor here. This source anchor is matched with one thing that you might know that is called immutable ID on the right. Okay. Immutable ID basically is the same attribute that is matched, but is how we call it on the online site. So this object or this value here will not change during the lifetime of the object because it came from the online. and should not find different values in different forests. So they should be unique. That's why when we use tools like AD Connect, where we want to synchronize several forests, for example, we should say something like, how do you want to match users from your on-premises world to the online? Should we keep the default ones like object grid and user principal name, or do you want to use something else? One example, we have, let's say, two forests, and our customer just wants to migrate those two forests just for one forest, so a forest migration. What we'll do is that when they do, when they basically want to centralize all data in one forest, objects will be copied from forest B to forest A, let's call it like this, and as soon as they do this, the object will be created, meaning that one object that was already synchronized with Office 365 will have a new object grid, meaning that then we'll have some inconsistencies in between because they will lose the match between on-premises to the AAD. So what can we do? From on-premises, we can't do anything because we can't change this value, okay? But if I'm on a project, if I want to predict some problems, for example, I can just stop using object grid and use a specific attribute that will be unique between forests. Let's say the email address or an extension attribute, and then I can just populate that value with one specific and unique value. For example, the corporate number that each individual can have that is unique. And then I just, before installing AD Connect, I will change the object grid to that specific value that is unique. And then after this, I'm just saying to match users from on-premise to the AD, don't use object grid, just use that specific attribute because it will contain one unique attribute for each user. And even if I do a forest migration, so it will ignore the object grid that came from forest B to forest A, and it will pick only the attribute that I'm just setting here that is unique, so no inconsistency at all, and I'm good to go. Okay? So before just having or going through federated identities, do you have any questions related to cloud managed users or directory sync users? Anything at all? Feel free to unmute yourself or just write the question. We're good. Thumbs up if yes, if you're still there. Okay, so we have a question. Can we sync a public domain with two different tenants? So we can't do this. Okay, so meaning that everything, like I said, everything is unique. Okay, so if I have a domain that is called contoso.com, when I had this domain, it will be attached to a specific tenant. The only thing I can do, okay, but that I believe that's not the question, is that I can have a child domain, let's say child.contoso.com, on a different tenant. And it can be used for SharePoint or for anything else that we can have. Okay, so contoso.com, a public domain, should be handled or supported on only one tenant. However, if I have a child domain like child.contoso.com, I can add it on the same domain, or I can add it on a different domain. This means that if I have a child.contoso.com in tenant number 2, it will be also a root domain. Okay? So even if he has child.contoso.com, it will have also, it will be a root domain. So the answer for this question, no, I just can't have it. Okay? Only on that situation that I was referring to. Good question. Yeah, Vincent. Good. More? Can we continue? Okay. So let's do it. If no more questions, don't forget that if you just remember something, just write down, and then as soon as we just stop for a while, I will check it, and then we can discuss it, okay? Feel free to do that. Okay, so the third type of identities, okay, the one that we will take more time on this webcast, the most important one, the most tricky one, and the best one, of course. That's why I'm here, and I have a job, okay? So that's called the federated identity. So if we remember from the last slide, not the last, but this one, so we have a scene tool, okay? So if we go to federated identities, I'm just seeing also a sync tool, okay? So that's why. So first thing is that even if I have ADFS, we will discuss more details in a few minutes, even if I have ADFS, if you can remember, I said each user or each object on premises should be shadowed to the online, meaning that they should be provisioned using a sync tool or using PowerShell, so doing it manually. So eventually the sync tool is the most used one because we don't have to create scripts to synchronize our 1,000 users from Active Directory or any other directory that customers should have. But if they don't have Active Directory by now, if they have a different specific directory, okay, yeah, they need to create all users or all objects using PowerShell. But the idea is that, okay, so each object should be shadowed to the online, even if I have ADFS. So it's recommended that you use a sync tool, because then we will have the provision user of objects on Office 365. That's why you should also see a dear sync tool or sync engine tool on this slide. Then we have one thing that is called ADFS. Okay, ADFS is like Active Directory Federation Services. Basically, it's one service that is responsible to create or handle authentication tokens. Okay, we will see the details in the future, but when we have this type of identity, means that behind this, you might have an ADFS or any other third-party relying tool like Okta or Shibboleth or Ping Federate, because the idea is exactly the same. So our tool, of course, that is built in on the operating system is the most used one. That's why we reference always ADFS. But don't forget that ADFS is just like the an IDP. An IDP, so meaning that it can be a third-party IDP, so we should be okay. So what this means, if you see the flow on the authentication compared with the other identities, and then we see authentication here, so this means that with a federated identity, it will not be our authentication or Microsoft authentication platform that will authenticate the user based on a username and password, because as soon as we federate a domain, we're just saying that, okay, so your domain is federated. This means that you have an IDP on your side, on your Active Directory, that will authenticate the users on your name. It will generate a token, and then the client itself will provide us a token that eventually will give access to the service that he wants. Okay, so after this, we don't exchange username and password from user to Office 365. User will basically ask for a token, and this token will not have any type of passwords, but it's just like a ticket, and that ticket will be provided to our services like the portal, SharePoint, CRM, whatever, and then we will consume that token based on some specific standards. Okay, so as soon as we see ADFS, we see that, okay, so something on premises will authenticate the user, probably on an Active Directory. It will create a ticket, and then our user will give us a ticket. Okay, so that's the main goal when we have ADFS or federated identity. If I say ADFS, okay, just because it's Microsoft, okay, but it's true for any other third-party identity providers, because those tokens that I was discussing, and then we will see in a couple of minutes will be created based on standards, and those standards means that our authentication platform will consume those, and meaning that we will consume based on that specific standards that ADFS or any other third party can have. Okay, so that's why it's open for this, and our customers can choose whatever they want to use. So just like a quick overview on how to choose an identity model. So I covered most of them, but eventually just a quick review: cloud identity, if you don't have on-premises directory, or you're on a pilot or something like that, small company, for example, a personal one, something like that. Synchronized identities. So we want that our users will have the same sign-on experience they have on-premises. So the username and password is the same in the cloud and on-premises. Okay. Then, for example, we can choose to have password sync, password write-back, which also reference some of them. And the one that we will focus on the next 30-35 minutes is about ADFS. So you can have multiple forests on your on-premises directory services with only one ADFS farm. And then after this, basically, we will consume those tokens for you, and that should be okay. More things that we can use with for this identity, I will not cover today, but MFA solutions on premises, for example, or for example, where it says here, web accessible password change, we can go and publish a link from a DFS environment that if you're outside, if you're on vacation, for example, you can change a password, for example, and this can be also managed by a DFS. So and then if we have the time, we will cover this. Okay. More things that we can have specific policies related to passwords. We can have auditing. We can have conditional assess. For example, I want a company that needs that those users, as soon as they left the company, they are not able to access their email address, their mailbox, for example. This can be achieved using a federated identity. So with ADFS and with claim rules, we can set up things like conditional access, where users from outside the corporate are not able to access the portal, for example, or access OWA or any other product that we have. Okay, or for example, some specific examples that reach the team. Everyone can can access Outlook from the internal corporate, but from the outside, only a VIP group of users can do the same, because all others will not have access. So we can achieve this using ADFS and with conditional access. Okay, so that's why, because we are under control. As soon as we authenticate to our on-premises world, we're under control this, and then we can set up this type of conditions just to suit business needs. Okay.
Luis, we have a question over here, so from Sabina.
Okay, so how we can determine the number of federation services required for the ADFS federation server farm deployment. So, Sabina, basically, we have some tools, especially for ADFS 2.0. We'll see about the versions after. But we have some tools where we can, it's an Excel file that is public, where we can set, for example, the number of users that ADFS will authenticate, and then it will create or give you an overview the how many ADFS servers you need. But of course, it's just a service, meaning that if you have one server and if we federate a domain, meaning that all requests will be handled by that server. So we should start thinking about redundancy. Okay, that's why we can have at least two ADFS with a network load balancer in the middle, because if one is down, the other will do whatever it takes. Okay, so at least the minimum. But if we're outside the corporate, If we're outside the corporate, we can have also, or we should have a DMZ where we will place what we call an ADFS proxy, just to proxy the request that reach from the outside. I will cover like for 5-10 minutes this environment or this architecture. Sabine, I don't have the spreadsheet with me, okay? But after this webcast, just ping me, and then I will provide you what I have. It's not new, but it will suit, I believe it will suit what you need, okay? And then it basically it will say that for 1 million users, we suggest that you should have at least 5 ADFS servers, for example, okay? So that's one thing that we can share with our customers. Good. Okay, so let's continue. Okay, so this part now, so we're going to continue on ADFS. So we'll see things like Fiddler. I believe you are aware what the Fiddler is, but Fiddler is just like a tool that we use to, and then we call it the man in the middle, that basically, because if you're trying to trace an access to a website like the portal.office.com and see in depth what's happening, because it's HTTP, means that we will need one tool that is called Fiddler, that is basically a man in the middle, that will use a certificate just to decrypt the traffic that we're reaching, and then it will decrypt the traffic for us to be able to check what is happening on a lower level. Okay, so that's why we're going to see Fiddler in a few minutes. And to see Fiddler, we'll see things that are, that belong to TCP protocol. I will not go through much details, but just like an overview in just 2 minutes, just to settle the level of the audience, just you to be more comfortable when we're going to see things like requests or redirects or gets or posts, so we should feel more comfortable. But basically we have a user agent, that's the browser that customer is using, okay? And then we do requests. These requests can, for example, if you're open a browser, you need to open www.bing.com, for example. This means that you're doing a get, like a verb, okay? We're doing a get to a specific resource. And this resource will be a server online that will take that and it will reply with specific information to us. So that's why we can see a specific website on our client. Okay? The example here for Telnet is how we can do some tests, or how you can just overview things like that are common on the TCP protocol. So, for example, that's the get. So let me click here. That's the verb. Okay. That's the resource. This is a front slash. This is a root resource. Okay. If a root folder or something like this. So we'll see a front slash. It can be a specific resource. So this one is just for all or the top resource. And then we see the protocol that is being used, that is HTTP on 1.1 version. Okay. So we try to send information to a server, get me this website, and then that server will reply back. Okay, I have what you want, so this is my answer. So, and then we will see an HTTP response, for example, with the protocol that we said that we are using, okay, a specific result that it says okay or a successful response. The content type that we see on our browser, that is text and HTML. The server itself, date, and basically the content of this. Okay. So the content will be in HTML with a specific web page. And that's why we can see on a browser web page that will have a specific title with a specific content. Okay. Let me stop for a while, and a question for Matej. Okay, yeah, so on the on the previous slide, yeah, it's referenced because I will go get on details about this. The only way we can have, and if you read the question about single sign-on experience, I'll go through that because for some customers, because we synchronize users and passwords, they might think that that's called a single sign-on experience, okay? But that's not the case. Single sign-on experience you can only have with an IDP, we can only have with ADFS, for example. And the reason is that in the morning when you authenticate to your laptop, we're going to create a ticket on your Active Directory that can be a Kerberos ticket, and that ticket will be used to create that token that we'll see in a couple of minutes, meaning that the full single sign-on experience can only be achieved with a federated identity, okay? Because we don't need to set our password anymore just to use Office 365 services, for example, okay? And sometime it was referenced on that slide. I was not referencing that on the webcast because just for some notes, because single sign-on equals ADFS. Okay? Did I answer your question, Matej? Okay, let's continue. If you have more questions at the end, okay, we'll just have a free 15 minutes just to discuss that. Okay? So getting back from what we're saying, so we're on the response from a server, just a simple request to get a specific website, okay? And then we will have a response from the website, and this is the payload that our browser will receive, and then we will see a web page with this HTML content over here, okay? There's the response code, like I said, the headers, and the body, okay? Another thing that we will see on a Fiddler is just posting, another verb, okay? So posting is that when your client, your browser on this case, is just posting some content or sending some data to a specific web server. For example, as you can see on the right, please enter your name, send name, okay? And then we will have a response. For example, when you set a username and password, the data is form encoded on a form. So we'll send username and password, and then we are posting the content of this text box to the server itself. And then we'll have an answer for that. Okay? And basically, we can see the data. We'll see this on a Fiddler, but we see the data on the request body, as you can see here. Okay? For those that are familiar with HTML, so this is a common thing, for example, when we have a website that we want just to post a specific content, and then we'll have basically the content on a form, and then on HTML we'll see exactly like this here, okay? Like an example, so I just post to this web server or this resource the word can, and then we'll see the posts to this resource here with the protocol that we're using. The content type is just a form content like we saw, and the body will have the data that we have that's can, okay? Another thing that will be common and that I will show is HTTP redirect. Basically, to tell the browser where to find the resource. So the code that we see here should be 302, meaning that I engage a web server, and the web server was saying, you're trying to have access to this resource. I don't have it, but I know who has it. So just go to this location here, okay? And then you'll see a 302 response code, and then we will the web server will provide to the customer or the user or the browser the location for in where he needs to go through and get this new page.html. Okay. 302. It's pretty common, and then just with an access to the port with a federal identity, we will see that in detail. Okay. So let's continue. Federation. What is a federation? So the word federation was already used on this webcast. So as we're seeing here, access management or federated access management builds a trust relationship between identity providers like ADFS and service providers like Office 365. What this means, for example, let's say that we have two corporates, corporate A and corporate B. Corporate A have an application that the business needs that corporate B will have access to that specific application also, not only corporate A. This means that someone from outside, so I created an application on my corporate, someone from outside will have access to this application, but I don't want to create users and passwords or whatever, because I just want them to use the resources I have to have access to my application. So this is exactly the same thing we have on Office 365. Okay. So we have a company that is called Microsoft. We have another company that is called Contoso or our customers, for example. We set a trust relationship between them using, for example, two ADFS on each corner. Okay. And then what we say is that I trust me that I have the application that you want. I trust your company, okay, to authenticate to our company. So when you do this, means that we will create or use those authentication tokens, those tickets that are created on application B to be consumed on our corporate A. Okay, we'll see more details about this. But eventually, that's why we can have not only for Office 365 or ADFS for Office 365, we can have other relying parties, not only for Office 365, but between two companies, exactly for this. Or if you have, for example, CRM on premises or SharePoint on premises, we can have a relying party to that application, because we want to provide users from different companies that don't have any type of relationship between them to basically use our internal CRM or SharePoint. Okay. So that's why it's called a framework that can be consumed by all applications regardless of their location. And then we trust our partners to authenticate their users, not our users. Okay. So that's the main goal of a federation. So we also discuss about tokens, and then with ADFS or with a relying party, this is pretty common. So basically, the reason is that if you have a federated domain, we stop using username and password to provide to the portal. Means that I will have a ticket created by ADFS on my on-premises that will have several claims, for example, name, group, age, UPN, or any other example or claim that I want to have, okay? And then at the end of this token, I will have a signature, okay, that will reference who created the token and consistency criteria. That's why we'll have token signing certificates on ADFS side that our company, Microsoft, will be aware that Contoso company is using. And then as soon as we receive a token, or let's say SharePoint Online or CRM Online or whatever, receive a token from Contoso company, we will see the contents, and then we will decrypt this token because we know that this token was created by a company that we trust. And based on this, we will have also the signature to open the token and consume the contents of this. And then we will take, for example, the UPN, we'll take the immutable ID, and that's why we can provide access to a user. Okay? So this is a token. So a token came, for example, if you're just seeing your workstation, if we see cookies, okay, these cookies will contain authentication tokens. That's why my, like we're seeing in a couple of minutes, in the session I'm using, I will have a cookie that will have authentication token that will be used to give to a specific resource online to have access to, for example, SharePoint Online or any other Office 365 service. So tokens come in different flavors. We can have SAML tokens, JSON web tokens, simple web tokens. So this is agnostic. Okay, everything in here is agnostic, meaning that, for example, I also discuss about Kerberos tokens or tickets that we have when you authenticate within our Active Directory, or the ones that we're interested to today is Security Assertion Markup Language or SAML tokens. Those SAML tokens are the ones that will be consumed or created and consumed by our services. So that's why if we have ADFS or any other relying party that will basically create and generate a SAML token with a specific structure, we will consume that. So meaning that we're not forced to have ADFS, we can have any other IDP provider. As soon as they have those minimum contents on this SAML token, and then we'll consume that. Okay? So like an example, just you to see the small flavor, because we'll see this in a few minutes. This is a SAML token or a SAML assertion. It can be also called assertion, but that's the same thing. But this is like XML. We can read XML. We can use a tool. And then we will find those specific claims that we were discussing about name, surname, UPN, or whatever. And then we also see the signature. But just a few minutes, we will see this live. That is even better. A JSON web token that has a similar, not a similar format, but the goal is exactly the same, but is using a different format here. So our authentication platform, or our new authentication platform is already using JSON tokens. And if you're using Azure, it's common to see these type of tokens and not SAML tokens. Okay. So, but is it, as you can see, it's basically more or less the same, because we'll have claims here, and these claims are similar but using a different format. Okay, more about cookies. Small piece of data issued by a web server to a web browser. Okay, so that's why we will receive those cookies, and they will store it or not. We'll see also the difference. The web browser is supposed to send the cookie to the web server and subsequent requests. That's the goal. So if I keep a cookie with me that it lives for 4 hours, as soon as I have a resource online that wants and needs me to be authenticated, it will ask, or the client itself will post this cookie, because we already have a token that is good. And then we don't need to go to the ADFS again, request a new token or cookie and store it on our session, because we'll have a token that is good for, let's say, 8 hours. And on those 8 hours, we will not to repeat the whole process again, because if you want to continue accessing, let's say, Office 365 resources, it can be SharePoint or can be CRM, I will use the same cookie that was provided by ADFS, and then the resource will consume it. Okay, so this is the authentication method used by ADFS, and the purpose is to maintain the state between two parties. Okay, cookies are used to maintain the state between the client and each of the ADFS server component that is redirected to. So this is what we discussed about cookies, and this is what we have. Just to go through this, we'll see the details after. Three types of cookies in use when we have ADFS: authentication cookies, or single sign-on cookies that will contain the SAML token issued by ADFS on this case. Home realm cookies to keep the client, this cookie keeps the client from having to go through the whole realm discovery process again. And I will show you this home realm discovery, what it does. We will cover that when we see our lab. Logout cookies Basically, this will be used to keep track of ADFS and applications. And basically, when we're going to a single sign out process, when you go to the port and click sign out, basically this cookie will be used to keep track of the servers and just make it delete all of them. So just get rid of all authentication cookies that we have. And then, of course, next time we'll open the portal or SharePoint or whatever that is online, we'll need to go through the same process again and have our single sign-on cookie, home realm, and logout cookie. So that's the thing. Some federation protocols and authentication types. We'll cover this part today because it's the most important one. So the active authentication will be deprecated from our services from one thing that I believe you already heard, that is ADL or ADAL. Okay. So the authentication flow will be similar to the one that we will that we'll speak in a few moments. Okay. So active authentication is used when we have Office 365, for example, Pro Plus licensing, when we have Outlook or Link. But for example, if you have the new Outlook client or Link client, they will use modern authentication. And with this modern authentication, we don't need a sign-in assistant to basically, in our name, go to the ADFS and create those tokens, because we will use a pass authentication flow. Okay, so I will not cover this. About ADFS and federation protocols, I will not cover non-details, but we will use WS star that will include WS federation and WS trust. It's just a federation protocol. And for Office 365, we can use two. We can use WS fed, or we can use SAML P or SAML passive. Okay. And on this one includes a relying party, IDP provider like Shibboleth that is a free, let's say it does the same thing as ADFS, but it's on a free way. Okay. And it's open source, for example. And the ADL part that I was seeing, so especially for the new ADFS 2016, we will see new protocols that we will use and consume on our site that are called OAuth. Okay, so I will not cover this today, but we'll go through the details later on. Okay, so let's bring any questions for now, because for now on we will just go through a quick demo. So if you have any questions, or at the end we can discuss about that, just take some notes. So let me go here on my workstation.
I'm Luis Pinto.
Hi Luis, so what token does ADFS provide? SAML token, exactly. Okay? It's a SAML token, so it's a pattern. It's basically what is consumed by our on the other side. So we have a relying party between corporate A and corporate B. On this case, it's corporate B. So yeah, it's SAML tokens. Okay.
Another question?
Yeah, please.
We have one thing that is called AD Connect Health Agent. That's a free tool we have. The only thing that you need is an Azure AD premium license. It's just go to Bing, for example, and just Bing like AD Connect Health Agent, and then we'll see. And then, yeah, there's a specific agent that you can install on your farm, and then you can track down number of connections, auto service handling, like a mini operations manager, mini SCOM. Okay. So let's get through. So this is my user. Let me bring here. Who am I? Okay, so user webcast one on my domain lab one. So it will just do a quick access to the portal. Okay. Oops. There we go. Now, webcast one. Controls, that's my UPN. Okay. So because it's a federated domain, as soon as I click tab, okay, there's the user realm discovery, because we will post the content of this text box to our services. And basically, based on what is on the right of the add character, okay, our environment will see if there's a federated domain or not. Okay. So let me just bring Fiddler first. We will see the contents of this. This is really interesting. I will just start tracing and then I will show you. So just webcast one. Sorry. Carmo home. That was my lab. Not Contoso, but this public domain. Okay. So there we go. See, so just access the portal, full single sign-on experience, because I was not even able to set my password. So let's see what happened in detail. So let me stop capture here. Okay, so I will place this. So this is this part here is the part that I was just messing around and just setting Contoso. We don't want this. So as you can see here on the URL, I have one thing that is called user realm. Okay. So that was my get. And then if I see the response for this. So of course, this is based on the specific protocol that I'm using. But as soon as I set the get using my UPN over here, I had a response from a server online saying that my namespace is federated. This is my federation protocol. This is my UPN or my login. The identity that will create tokens is this one over here on the right. Okay. This is content for WS Fed. I will not cover that on detail. Let me go to the end. The domain name over here, brand name that I will see. So this is the most important part, because it's just saying, so you need, basically you need, you're using a federated domain. So I'm getting redirected to my ADFS. So do you remember that results over here? So that's the result 302. That's a redirect. So meaning that the first resource I reach sent me over to this specific host, and this specific host, it's nothing else but my ADFS server, my federation name that is available online. Okay, that's my name here. So what I see here, so I will see things that I'm just getting, okay, that is a specific endpoint on my ADFS, where I will basically use my WS Fed protocol, and then when I do this, let me get this. When I do this, I'm just getting this content, because the online environment knows about where is the identity that creates the tokens for me. And then I will be redirected to a specific endpoint on my ADFS. Okay. That's why I see here ADFS/ALS. And then because, let me get back to that. Where is the header? Okay. We can see more detail here. So we're here on this situation now. And then, okay. As soon as I do this, so I reach an endpoint, I'm trying to use one thing that is called, where it is, that's my username that I'm using here. My realm is the relying part I'm using on Office on ADFS. So as soon as I get here on this one, I see an 401 unauthorized response. Meaning what? Meaning that at this stage here, I was not able to provide a cookie from or an authentication cookie that have my SAML token, because at this point I don't have any. Okay, and then I will see every time a 401, because it's basically like anonymous authentication. When you try to have access to something, the first thing that we try to have access is just to try to have access. Or if we reach a room with a door, the first thing that we do is just to try to open a door. And then the door is closed, and then we see, oh, okay, I have my badge with me, so I need to use my badge. So it's exactly the same thing. So we'll see every time a 401 saying unauthorized, because I don't have anything related to authentication here. Okay? So same thing, open a door, the door is closed, and then you'll see a message like, you can't access because I don't know who you are. Okay? So that's why after this, just before that, sorry, after this, I know that, okay, so you're trying to log in. This is a session-based authentication. And then, based on the server, based on your ADFS, I see two things here. So you can use how to negotiate to have authentication with. Okay? So we see here negotiate, meaning that can be Kerberos or NTLM. Okay? So as soon as I do this, on the second one, because the second one is exactly the same as this one. Okay, if we see the URL here. Okay. The second one will have, okay, so there's my authentication provided here. And if you remember about the Kerberos ticket, so the Kerberos ticket is nothing else like going here. If I see, give me all the tickets I have on my machine because I authenticated just a few minutes ago. Okay. I don't have it anymore. Give me just a second. Let me try again from scratch. Okay. Da-da-da-da. Give me just a second. Okay. Let me try again. I will stop this. So we'll get there, okay? I will just see the ticket again, but let me just finish this part. So this means that I have a Kerberos ticket on my session, and then you'll see the content here that is slightly encrypted, but I will see common information. For example, the service principal name that I have on my ticket, because when I do KList, I should have an SPN that will have basically the SPN of the ADFS service that is called sts.v-lcarmo. Okay. And I have also the content for my user principal name on premises or my domain here, lab1.local. Okay. So at this moment on this frame 14, I have my authentication token here. Okay, and the response from the server is, okay, so I accepted your ticket, okay, and then please set this cookie or save these cookies on your session, and then we will see what we call here the single sign-on cookie, okay, that is called MSIS auth. Okay, the other that we discussed a while ago was the sign out, and this is a different thing that is for detection and handling cookies, and this will contain the time frame or basically when the cookie was set and the time to leave. It's all so encrypted, but we can open this. Okay, so at this moment, frame 14, so we went to the STS first time as anonymous. We don't have any type of authentication. We repeat and we collect Kerberos ticket here on this specific tab, as you can see on auth, and then we get the token. As soon as we see cookies, okay, as soon as we see set cookie like this, means that I'm successfully authenticated, and then I will save on my client session this authentication token as a cookie, okay? Not only one, but several ones like we discussed a few minutes ago. So as soon as we did this, go through frame 16, Okay? And based on that cookie, we will provide that cookie to our services because we're seeing the host here. Okay? And there's the token or SAML token that we have. So if I go to web forms over here, so this is the token that is created on IDFS. I can send this to a text wizard. Let me just copy, open Notepad, save as alf token saml.xml. So let's see the content. Oops, just a second, too much. Okay, so that's my token. So as you, if you remember the slide, so this is my claims. So requirements or special claims created by EDFS UPN, as you can see here. And the certificate, the signature, the token signing certificate that is here. And the mutable ID that is here. Okay? So we will take this, the client will take this specific token, and then it will provide it to our services, as you can see here, login Microsoft Online. And after this, we have access to our portal. Okay? We can't see much, but as you can see here, so we're just inside and then you're successfully authenticated. Okay? We'll get through this just more minutes when we reach here. So let me just continue. Okay, so just a quick reminder, how the passive authentication flow happens. So this is Azure AD. A user attempts to access CRM online. It can be CRM, SharePoint, whatever. Okay. After this, I'm redirected to login.microsoftonline.com. So this is what we saw on the Fiddler, not for Dynamics, but from the portal. Okay. So the user will basically request a token to the ADFS. ADFS will issue a SAML token and then the client will present this token to the service, okay? And after that, we will have a new token that is called FedAuth cookie that will be stored on the session. And for example, if it's a FedAuth cookie that should be persistent, let's say for 4 hours, we can close our browser, for example, or we can have access to any other Office 365 services. And as soon as you do the same engagement, we will not flow again to this like we're doing here, because our FedAuth cookie stored as a cookie on our session will be used and it will be provided immediately to the new resource that we're trying to engage. And then we don't need to repeat all these steps because the subsequent requests will use this token that we have. It can be for Dynamics, CRM, SharePoint, the portal, etc. Okay? Anything that is basically consumed by our host that is called login.microsoftonline.com. Just a second. Okay. Okay, so in more details, in this case for SharePoint Online, the same thing that we have here, but for SharePoint, it's the same, but the content is more in-depth, okay? So there's a client that wants to have access to SharePoint Online. Let's say it's a file, an Excel file that is stored online. I will have my 401 information saying, you can't have access because I don't know who you are, okay? However, I know that you're a affiliated domain, so, and then that you need to create a token on premises because I will need that token, okay? So just go back, go to your Go to the application platform first, because it will be the application platform that will do that user realm, and then the user realm will bring us to the ADFS server. Okay, so we're here, and then based on the Kerberos ticket that we have, we'll use it. The ADFS server in the client name will go to the active directory. Okay. The user will be authenticated if it's not authenticated, and then it will basically have this request here: SAML token with my user UPN, source user ID. It can be the source anchor. It's exactly the same thing. Okay. So I will give back this information, this token, to the client, and then the client will provide it to the authentication platform. Okay. And at the end, the authentication platform will create what we call the FedAuth token. And this FedAuth token is our badge that will be used for 4 hours, 8 hours, depending on the service that he wants to give access to. And then it will take this token and it will show it to the original location he wants to have access to. Okay. And then my user is able to authenticate. Okay. So it can be, well, it's just using some analogies here, because I know that this can be hard to understand at the first glance. So this is basically like, we're on the hotel. Okay. And we face the hotel and we find our room, or we try to open a room, and then we don't have a car to access to. So we know that, okay, so we need a specific car to have access. So go to your lobby on the reception, just authenticate or provide your ID, and then they will give you a card. That card then will be used to, at the end, open the door that is called SharePoint Online. Okay. Next time that you exit, let's call it like that, SharePoint Online, if you need to have access to the same room, you don't need to get access again to the lobby, because you already have a card with you. And if it's still valid, you'll use it to open your room or the door room. Okay? Make sense? Yeah. So about versions, I will be fast on this part over here. So we have like 5 versions. The most important ones, 2.0, 2.1, and 3.0, or server in 2002 R2. So this is basically what we can call ADFS 3.0. This is based on this version of the operating system as a role. 2.1 if you have only server 2012. ADFS 2.0 released to web like an application that you need to install, and you should have this operating system here. I will not even discuss these ones that are really old. Okay. So this is the farm. I will not give much payment attention, because we already discussed this. About this, one of the questions that someone asked about sizing, for example. So we know that we have an ADFS on the back end, we have our directory services, our applications, for example, and then we should have in a DMZ protected one server with a role called web proxy, or WAP, for ADFS. And what this does is just to, if you're outside of your corporate, you should go through first the proxy. Within the proxy, we don't have single sign-on experience, because we'll see a forms asking for username and password. Okay? So that's why it will bring up that request and it will send over to ADFS. This is the most common scenario that we have. At least we should have 2 ADFS servers here and 2 ADFS proxies here, just to balance the request, or just for failover. Okay. Some tips and tricks. I believe you should have access to this SharePoint at the end. So if you have the time, just go through some situations when we should open some specific ports or install some specific updates. We can see it after. Okay. So let's get back to our environment. Okay. So let me just exit here. close all tabs. You see, if I just have, don't have, I don't know why, but no worries. So power, disconnect, let me use Lab 1, Webcast 3. Okay. So this is a user. Let's see the user. So this is user 123. User 1 has on-premises UPN. So this is the logon name and what we have here, webcast1.carmohome.com. We can see it on the attribute editor as user principal name. Okay. This is the on-prem value that should match what we have online. Okay. And we have user 2 and user 3. So let's try to break this. Okay. So webcast 3 is somehow affected. So let's see it. If this permits me, it's a little slow today. Just a second.
Between we are waiting, we have a question over here.
If I use ADFS for another service than Office 365, how can I monitor all connection? Okay. Exactly. SCOM should be your, or System Center should be your choice because it will have some modules that you can have for ADFS that will give you what you want. The AD Connect Health Agent is just suited to Azure AD. Okay, so we will not have the full flavor. Then you can use SCOM just to monitor your ADFS. Okay, so we're in. So let me see what is the user just to confirm. CMD, who am I? Webcast 3, as you can see. Let me go to the portal. In the meanwhile, I will just run Fiddler. Okay. Now, let me go to the portal. At carmohome.com. Tab key, we know that now we know what's happening, right? Sign in. Now this is supposed not to happen, okay? So let's see if our machines are helping today or not. Well, that's not expect. That was not the error I wanted to see, okay? This is just like a timeout. So let me go through again. These machines are on, I believe. Let me get that again. It was taking a lot, so maybe it was just a timeout. But we should see an error from Azure. No, that was not what we tend to do. Let me see if my ADFS is down. I believe it's down. If you have any questions, just feel free, okay? Because something happened with ADFS service and I need to live troubleshoot. Which is also good, but it was not intended. Give me just a second. So page cannot be found means that I don't have access to this resource. So IDP initiated sign on.aspx. Now it's down. Services. Let's see the service, ADFS service on this box. That's my only ADFS server.
So I believe it's why we should have two at least.
Exactly. If we add two, we can just try to switch it. You see here, so the service is down. Okay. Well, let's call it like troubleshooting number one or lab number one. Okay. Something is happening with this server. Yeah, it's starting. I believe the machine was booted for some reason. So the error that we're seeing is just, I can't find this resource. There's no page displayed here. So I was having this error. Okay. So just pressing F5 here until I see started on the service. Questions, guys? We have time. We're just waiting here. We have 9 more minutes. Running, okay. Let's get back.
Okay, we have a question.
What is the advantage of putting the database of ADFS to a SQL server instead of a local DB? Thank you, Vincent. That's a really good question. For example, if you want to have more than 6 nodes on ADFS, because one thing I was not covering, because it's in 1 hour, it's impossible to cover all, but ADFS, it will use Windows internal database, okay, just as a database for ADFS. But it has some specific not requirements, but it's something that you should avoid if you plan to use more than 6 nodes on ADFS. So if you have more than 6, means that you'll need a dedicated SQL server with a specific ADFS database. That's one of the good things that we can have. You have more, but this is the most important one if we're discussing about sizing, okay? Because if we don't have SQL or dedicated database, we'll have Windows internal database, and then we'll have what we call the primary ADFS server, the one node that will be the only one that will write to that Windows internal database, and then we will have all the others that are called secondary that will pull the contents or the changes on the database that came from the primary one. Okay? So let's get rid of this. Let's start capturing. We're trying to use webcast 3. Okay, yeah, that's the area I want. So let's stop here. So lab.local does not exist. So this is the error. Okay, so let's go to, I know what the error is, okay? So if I go to the domain controller, I will go through and I will do some research. So let's go to attribute editor. So I have the user here. Not this one, sorry, number 3. So if you remember about what we were saying about user principal name and domains, okay, I see one thing here. Okay, so that's strange. My UPN ends with lab1.local. Let me get my fiddler back. Let's see this on detail. Okay, I don't have anything. I don't know why. It was not, let me, fiddler options. Okay, I was not using this to decrypt. It was only getting HTTP. So let me try again. Okay. Be right back. Just guarantee that I have the trust certificate for Fiddler. I should have a pop-up now. If not, Fiddler will not decrypt. Okay, and then we have access to, we're getting access to HTTPS, so it would not be possible. That's why I didn't saw anything. So let's go through. Let me repeat the access. Okay. Just a second. Okay. Webcast 3 at. Okay. I'm not collecting here because I know that about the certificate, so we can have problems and then I will not able to access any HTTPS website, but that's okay. So we have here this error. So let's go to the portal, but I will use my global admin. That's one way to troubleshoot. So global admin is, it's a cloud identity, not a federated domain. Okay. So it should be this one on Microsoft.com. So the get realm happens at the same time, but then I receive the information that is a managed domain, not a federated domain. So if I go through here, if I go to admin, I go to users, let's try to find that webcast 3. Page 2. This can be made using PowerShell the same way. So webcast 3, this is synced with AD, that's good. If you see the username or UPN, well, it has a strange domain, right? So the strange, it's not strange because on premises I try to synchronize this with a domain that is not public, it's not rootable. So that's why when it reached the online site, it sets changed the domain suffix to our default domain, and then it changes to here, meaning that I'm not able to authenticate because there's a mismatch between the domain here and the UPN I have online and the UPN I have on premises. So I'm not able to, I will create a token and then I can see a token on the Fiddler like we did. But when we send the token to the service, in this case the portal, it will be ignored because the UPN that will be on this token will be something like webcast3.atlab1.local, and for online we don't know anything about this domain. So how can we fix this? It's really easy. Go here, go to account, change this, okay, so to my rootable domain, go to AD Connect, and just start the Delta Sync. It's sync cycle, policy type, Delta. Okay, let me show you what is happening. Okay, this will take 1 or 2 minutes. So the goal here is that as soon as I do this change, when I go to the portal, I will see webcast3 at carmohome.com. And then the token that will be created on premises, because we change on premises, if you remember here, on the UPN, the token will contain a UPN as carmohome.com, that is a federated domain that will be consumed by our online platform. Okay? So just, we will end up on this way. So just really quick on the ADFS management console, and then I will be open to questions. Okay? So this is my ADFS console. Important thing here, certificates that we have. Maybe on the next session, if you're guys interested, I will be go deep on the service itself. I try just to be agnostic because this can be any other IDP provider rather than ADFS. So that's the relying party we have with our Office 365 like this. And authentication policies, we will have authentication methods. And for example, if I came from a web proxy, I will use forms or certificate authentication. If I'm on my internet, I will use Windows authentication to be possible to use my Kerberos ticket here. Okay, so let me get back here on the AD Connect. Okay, so I have a change. I have an update for that user. Okay, I modify the UPN from this to this. Now if I go to sign out, let me try to have access again. So it's webcast 3 at Carmo Home. Fingers crossed. Okay, we're in. Okay. So that's it. So I was not covering the details of ADFS Management Console because I wanted just to you to understand better about what is a SAML token, what is authentication cookie, what is Windows Integrated Authentication. Not covering ADFS because it can be any other IDP provider. It's not important. So yeah, so I'm open to questions about the content of this webcast. Please feel free.
Okay, so guys, I have a quick poll over here. So please answer between you are typing the questions you have. This session, as you know, has been recorded and will be available at on the support blog. Okay, so the support blog is this one. I will paste just 1 second, and will be available after the editing of the video. Okay. So if you have any question, please type it, or I will try to unmute everyone to see if anyone have a question. Just 1 second, okay? So if anyone have a question, can mute yourselves. I believe not. It's a very good presentation. Thank you, Luis, for everything. I hope in the future we have a bigger and deeper knowledge on this on the other webcasts. And thank you for your presence, and I think we see you on the next one. And thank you.
Bye, guys. Yeah, thank you so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Cheers.